Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Cryptic Commander. We are your hosts. I'm John Nose.
This is Onik.
And we've got a big show for you today. We apologize.
A lot of information to go over.
That's right, man. A lot. I mean, we have actually had to cut top decks this week, you know, but we still got some of the famous segments. We do want to say Peddler's not going to be able to make it today. Just something last minute. No worries. He'll be back next week. I know I said that last week, but he promises he's coming back. He wanted to rant and rave about some of the Secret Lair stuff, so can't wait to hear that next week. Let's go ahead and get the bills paid by saying we are sponsored by North Valley Games, where you can go to northvalleygames.com, enter the promo code TCC2021, and you'll get 10% off your whole order, not to mention you'll get 10% more cash by using that same promo code and selling your singles to them. We're sponsored by Legends Rise Games. We're also sponsored by Artopia. We are sponsored by the Hobby Goblins. We're partnered with Magic the Gathering Players Group, Facebook group, and Cosmic Gaming. Starting us off this week, Onik, I think you've got card of the week.
Probably the juiciest spoiler we've seen in a minute. Liliana of the Veil. She is back. Or she's coming back. She is confirmed to be a part of Dominaria United. She'll be released on September 9th. We can go over those details a little bit later. Dominaria of the Veil. Liliana of the Veil, legendary planeswalker. Of course, Liliana. One black, black, so three mana total. Plus one, each player discards a card. Minus two, target player sacrifices a creature. Minus six, separate all permanents target player controls into two piles. That player sacrifices one pile and they keep the other. This card was a staple for the longest time in Modern Jund. I think it wreaked havoc in Standard at the time when it was originally printed back in Innistrad. Right now, I mean, I think the card has only been spoiled for like 24 hours, maybe a bit more. But right now, this card itself is going for about $50 to $60 in Dominaria. I'm sure it'll drop, but I'm very excited to get my hands back on her. That sounds strange, but you know what I mean.
I do, man. There's a lot of things I want to say about this card in particular. First off, you almost said Dominaria of the Veil. Right. I mean, we got a new version, and it's going to be talk of the town for years to come. You know, which version you got, which one are you talking about? Here, let me look that up, kind of a thing, you know, and not to mention, it's going to be Pioneer legal too. Not just standard legal, you know. I was thinking, you know, the more I was thinking about, you know, building like a mono black deck or even a black red deck for standard with this, I'm looking at Pioneer like, man, Cat Evan would be just all up with this, wouldn't it?
I don't even know what shell she would go in yet. I think there's a lot of opportunities to discover the best sort of play style with her. I don't know if she just slots into an existing deck. I think she's strong enough to maybe just build whole new decks around her,
right?
So we'll see. It's going to be pretty exciting. At least I'm excited.
Me too, man. You know, like I said,
Sorry, she does have new art.
Yes, it's two versions.
It's not the original art.
Two versions, yeah. You got the extended art, or is it full art? What do they call this one?
You mean borderless?
It's borderless, yeah, but it also goes to the bottom. So, like, it's borderless, extended art, or it's full art.
I'm not so sure what it's called. But it's an alternate art and a different frame.
Yeah. I love this one right here that's the full art, though. No, not full art. So it'd be extended art. I like this extended art.
Or borderless. I don't know.
Yeah, borderless. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
One where she's wearing purple, which I love this art. And the other one where she's wearing black. She looks a bit more like Professor Onyx.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's the same character, but she kind of has a look.
Yeah. I like the Onyx looking one. And a lot of people I talk to like the other one. What do you like?
The purple one?
Yeah, the purple one. Which one do you like?
Purple by far.
You like purple by far. Yeah, see, everybody I've talked to is like, purple. And I'm like, I'm just the only one, I guess.
Yeah, like, look at the if you see the mirror that's behind her, it's a reflection of herself, or sort of a reflection, that's where she's wearing the chain veil. So that's really interesting. I don't know if that's going to be incorporated in the story somehow, or maybe she's got other powers to deal with the Phyrexians. I don't know.
The moment this card was spoiled for Dominaria United, it just piqued my interest so much. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, if you had my attention with the Legends, right? But it wasn't really enough to get me to really want to get some of these cards. But this right here alone wants me to go get packs. Just this alone right here.
Yeah, I definitely need to pick her up.
Yeah. All right, well, that's your card of the week this week. What are we going into next?
Stocks. So movers and shakers.
Movers and shakers. That's going to be me this week.
Mm-hmm.
Movers and Shakers this week is brought to you by mtgstocks.com. Every week you can go over to mtgstocks.com and follow along with us. All you really have to do is just go over and click on the weekly winners, the very top section, and just basically scroll all the way down to the bottom. We read bottom to top. Starting this week, we've got Luxor, Giada's Gift. Did I say that one right?
I think Giada.
Giada? Oh, wow. Almost like that lady that cooks on the cooking show.
Yeah, it's spelled the same thing, same way.
Got it. So Luxor, Giada's Gift, $6.27. Slowly trending down. I love how that card is slowly trending down. One of these I have right here, Liliana the Last Hope, $13.66. Slowly trending down. We've got Flooded Grove at $3.99. This one's moving up, and to me, it's no surprise whatsoever. No surprise whatsoever.
How so?
Yeah. No surprise. Well, you know, when I look at it, the first thing I think of is it's ramp, right? But it's really not, because you got to tap this and another one, right? You get two for two. But it's a fixer.
Yeah, right? They're called filter lands.
Yeah, filter. That's so cycle. So it's a filter, right? So that's why I think it's moving up. It doesn't come into play tapped. You know, so think about that for a second. You know how if you have just your one land, you want it to be an OG dual land, right? You can't afford it. I understand. Sometimes I can't afford those guys, right? You get this, it's almost the next best thing when there's really no other stipulation as far as you got to have four lands in play, you got to have two lands in play. This would be one of the weakest of the, you know, restricted lands, you know, that come into play untapped that help you produce either, you know, green or blue, or green or blue, you know.
Yeah,
it's going to fix that problem when you run into turn two, which a lot of experienced players will understand what we're talking about right here, right?
Yeah. So
that's why this card's moving up, and it's just no surprise to me whatsoever when people really start to figure the game out, you know. Moving along, I think we're up to number three already. Fierce Guardianship at $98.99. This is up 58%. This is looking at the version from Commander 2020. It's almost $100, man. Any thoughts on that?
It's a Commander card, but why did it jump up by almost 60%? I have no idea.
Let's see if we got anything in the footnotes here. Let's see here. Well, you got cards like Daze, Force of Navigation, Force of Will, and the latter be reprinted in Dominaria Remastered, by the way. So, yeah, I already knew this. I was getting ready to mention that. There's not only going to be reprint of Force of Will and Dominaria Remastered, which I'm not sure if we're going to cover on this episode of the podcast, but regardless, they're going to have four different versions on the artwork of Force of Negation. I'm sorry, a Force of Will, right? Force of Will of all the ones, like, wow, right? Didn't we just have that in the original Double Masters like 2 years ago? At any rate,
I feel like we've had it in a couple of them, yeah.
So where I'm going with this is, not only is there four versions of different artwork, but you've also got etched foil, full art, extended art, I can go on here, man, you know, regular foil, you know, 12 different versions, man, in my opinion, you know, if not more. So there's going to be a lot of Force of Wills is what I'm trying to get at. Not the fact that it's just coming back, but there's going to be a lot of them, and people are going to be pulling it left and right. Just think of Teferi in 2021, right? But now we have etched foils. We didn't have etched foils back then. We just had regular foils. Just food for thought. And moving up to number two this week, Tomb of Urimi, if I'm saying that one right,
Urami.
Urami, so it's spelled U-R-A-M-I, and it's a rare from Saviors of Kamigawa. It's $2.91, up 65%, making it only $1.15 more expensive than it used to be. But percentage-wise, it's still a big leap for a card that's this cheap. I'm a poet and didn't even know it. So it's a legendary land with two abilities. You got, you know, tap, add black. It deals one damage to you if you don't control an ogre. And then the other ability is two and two black, tap, sacrifice all lands you control, create a legendary 5/5 black demon spirit creature token with flying named Urami. At any rate, but last but not least, man, I've got this one right here myself. I love this card. I'm not sure, maybe there's a reason why it's number one this week, but it's Minsk and Boo, Timeless Heroes, $8.19. It's up 66%. And it's a planeswalker. And there's a lot of notes here on it, but I just can't imagine why it's going up. You know, hamsters really aren't a big thing.
It's a brand new card that I think is just naturally picking up popularity. I don't think it's, I mean, I've said it before, I'm not a commander player, but I think it's just people just started like looking at it like, oh, this is actually a fun commander, and they just kind of went with it.
Right. And I know too that you can only play with one Boo, you know.
Yeah.
The there's two planeswalkers. I got one of the ones from the newer one, red and white. Yeah, I got a red and white one from the Commander Legends Baldur Gate. At any rate, that is your movers and shakers this week.
Got a bunch of arena updates.
Okay.
So if you log in recently, you've noticed that you can actually start buying, or I guess pre-ordering, the Dominaria United bundles. There are two of them, which they just call the Liliana Pack bundle and then a Jaya Pack bundle, which, as always, are $50 each, and you get your, you know, the stuff that you've come to expect. You get your bunch of packs and card styles and like a draft token or whatever. Recently, we forgot to cover this like a week or two ago, but they did ban. What's that artifact? Oh my god, Chalice of the Void Brawl. Only in Brawl.
Historic Brawl.
Historic Brawl, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just because, you know, so you don't lock someone out of their commander, because that would be unfun.
Mm-hmm.
There are qualifiers going on, which actually just happened recently. It was August 19th, was the best of three for, what format was this? I think this was Alchemy. Yeah, this is an Alchemy. It's continued going on 21st, and then there's an Arena Championship. Oh, this is interesting. This is the first one, Arena Championship number one, September 24th and the 25th. So next month. So if you want to stretch yourself in Arena, this is the opportunity for you to do so. I don't know what formats they are, but this is invitation only. It's a two-day event that features, yeah, major bragging rights, as it says, and a massive prize pool of $200,000 and a shot at an invitation for the Magic World Championship next year, 2023.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I read somewhere it was going to be Alchemy, but I could be wrong.
$200,000, that's
a lot of money, right?
That's huge.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Magic used to be a thing where it was a yearly thing of $250,000 for the top prize.
Yeah, but this is just Arena.
Yeah, I get it.
So that's cool.
They took that away, right? And they promised they were going to bring back more and more and more. And they also did, what's the word where they downsize certain areas of a company, you know? And it's like, they're cutting corners and like, but they're putting their assets in other areas. So like Magic the Gathering Arena, it's really bringing them money. Think about it, man. That's really bringing in money. So let's go ahead and give back to the community. And there's going to be some people that are large in charge that are like, hey, we're giving back, man. You know, we need to bring more attention, put more money into this, because you can have a chance. You know, it just makes sense.
If you aren't already consistently hitting top 1200 in Arena,
right,
then this might not be for you. Like, I mean, if you could try, of course, but you need to qualify for this. So you need to be consistent.
When you say top 1200, I'm always in the numbers.
Percentage or numbers?
I'm in the numbers. I'm always in the numbers.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I think you need to be like, I don't know what the exact qualifications are, but yeah, right. If you can look up Arena Championship,
okay,
in September, you can find some information.
I personally would like to, because I'm always mythic, but I'm never really hitting the percentages, but I'm always in the top, you know. I know I'm.
The percentage is the first thing that you hit, and then you get into the numbers. Unless you're like one of the first ones to hit mythic, and then but that's different.
I was playing,
but you need to end the season with that rank.
Yeah, I was playing against Emma, another content creator for Twitch, right? And she was actually streaming. I caught the stream, and she's like, "No sniping, Cryptic," and I'm like, "No problem," because she knew I was watching the stream, and because I even mentioned to her, I'm like, "Hey, I'm watching your stream and playing against you," and she's like, "You know, like no sniping, man," and I'm like, "No problem." And we both know each other really well, right?
I'm a like Skyward, I think.
Yeah. So she's streaming, we're playing, she beat me. But I noticed right then and there, man, she was ranked like number one at the time. Mm-hmm. And I even asked her, I'm like, man, hold on a second here, man. You know, how we ranked up like this, because I'm only ranked Diamond, you know, the one right before Mythic, you know?
Yeah.
And you're Mythic and you're like number one player in the world. How do we pair up like this? You know, and she goes, it was like midnight or 2 o'clock in the morning. And I didn't realize that, you know, and she goes, that's why, because no one's really playing that are up here like us. So it just automatically paired me against you. And I have to admit that I would jump on here and there, like a few minutes, I jump off and then I jump back on Arena. But I know I'm getting long winded on another side story, you know, but just, it was personal to me and kind of hit home. Anyway.
Yeah. I'm taking a peek at her Twitter. Right. Yeah. Now. Yeah. She was number one like last year, but she's consistently in the top.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, she was actually, I talked to her when I originally started the podcast, man. I was like, hey, you know, be a co-host. She gave us some thought. And then after a while, she's like, nah, man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
There's also a Dominaria United early access event. That's not really for, it's for ones who consistently stream and they have a lot of viewers. This is a kind of an invitation or an account that's granted to the streamers from Wizards of the Coast to where you can play with the cards ahead of time. You're really only playing for like 2 days. Still, you have like a full library of all the fun stuff. So that's pretty cool. There's a couple of arena events going on still. There's still the Arena Cube. I've said it before, if everyone should try playing Cube at least once. It's a Phantom event. You don't keep any of the stuff, but the experience is really fun.
Yeah.
That goes on until September 1st, so you got about a week and a half until it goes away.
I'm glad you mentioned Cube because I'm playing it right now. Not as we're doing the podcast, but I was playing it before you told me that you're ready to start the podcast, you know?
Oh, okay, yeah.
I drafted an all-black deck. Go ahead.
Yeah, we can get into Cube a little bit later, too. I think there was something else that I... Oh, there was a couple, like a week or two ago, there was a couple of alchemy rebalances, but only for drafting. And of what I heard, it's a very positive change. I know a lot of people don't really care for rebalancing stuff, but of what I heard from people who consistently draft, it was a phenomenal change for the better. Everything is a lot more closer to the power level. Because if you've drafted Baldur's Gate before, you could tell that blue is extremely underpowered, but this really brings it up a lot. It's not number one, so it's still number five out of the five colors. But this is not a huge gap as it was before. So if you drafted it once or twice, it might be worth to try it again for a third time and see what has changed. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it for all the arena updates.
All right, guys, we're going to go to a quick commercial break real quick. Now, I usually say we got these segments coming up and we'll be right back. But before I do that, I want to remind you guys that we have a Facebook group called the Cryptic Commander. I think it's called the Cryptic Commander Podcast now. I shortened it.
Yeah, you changed the name just recently. I forget
I think it's the Cryptic Commander Podcast. You know what? I'll probably leave this part in on the podcast and not even edit out that I'm looking it up. So I'll go to
Cryptic Commander and MTG Podcast.
MTG Podcast. There you go. The Cryptic Commander and MTG Podcast. That's the name of the Facebook group. We've also got a YouTube channel under the same name, The Cryptic Commander. We do a lot of box openings over there. Matter of fact, our latest video is a box opening with the help of Jarrett and Luna. So big shout out to those two. We love both of you. We can't do it without you. And we can't do it without you too. please help consider and support in the podcast. All you got to do is, you know, there's a links to Anchor where you can do for 99 cents a month. You can go over to our Patreon. There's links in that somewhere, probably even in the link of the description of this podcast. But we are going to go to commercial break. When we come back, we've got Dominaria United updates.
There's a lot of updates. So much news.
Yep. That's why we're going to have to go to a commercial break, because there's just so much of it, right? And then not, last but not least, we're going to have Level Up. And we'll be right back after this. All right, everybody, welcome back. Onique, we've got Dominaria United updates.
We have a lot to cover.
Okay. So as we go along, if you want to share pictures with me in the Facebook group, that's fine. But where do we start, man, with the lineup?
Oh, man, I don't even know where to start. I'm just going to start with Dominaria United, the set itself.
Yeah.
If you don't already know, it's releasing September 9th. That is the official release.
Yeah.
September 2nd or 3rd or 1st or something is the pre-release. And I think on September 2nd is the arena release. So, Dominaria United does, I guess, trigger a standard rotation. So don't forget, it's pretty much out with the old, in with the new. So that would be Zendikar Rising, Kaldheim, Strixhaven, and Adventures of the Forgotten Realm. Those are all rotating out of standard.
Yeah, I'm excited, actually. I can't wait to start tinkering, you know?
Yeah, that's like brewing season, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I love brewing season.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at this lineup, too.
At the sets coming up?
Yeah, the sets that are coming up, yeah.
Yeah. So they announced, of course, we have Dominaria United. We knew that. We also knew about The Brothers War. Mm-hmm. And I realized this has the in front of it. So it's The Brothers War. That's coming out November 11th. And of what I saw, I think there's like for the pre-release, you can either choose essentially Urza or Mishra. Urza's Iron Alliance or Mishra's Burnished Banner. I don't even know what side I would pick. Do you lean one to the other, or are you just kind of neutral just by the names?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, do you have a preference of either one? Like, I don't know who's really good guy, bad guy. I mean, as far as I know, Urza's a good guy, Mishra's bad, but why? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember, man. I really don't remember. I'm just now clicking on the picture of the lineup. There it is. So it was just so long ago, and I wasn't like keeping up with the lore, you know. I remember that Urza was the artificer of artificers, and reading some of the books that involved Urza, I don't remember like if Mishra was mentioned or what the context was, because this was years ago.
Yeah.
years ago, you know. I remember the books being really, really interesting, and at some point they even stopped, you know, advertising for the books and giving you like inserts of like the first chapter or something, you know. But those days are long gone, you know. But there's people that collect the books and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's even some people that don't even know the books exist. But it
might be worth it. Well, yeah. I mean, especially if you're into the lore, if you could find the books and buy them, sure, but at least to read up on the story as we go into these new sets. Mm-hmm. That set's coming on in November.
It's a big task. It's a big task, you know, right?
Yeah. The set after that, so the next four sets they've announced, and there's all new stuff we haven't known before. Mm-hmm. We all kind of guessed that we're headed to Phyrexia. I did.
Yeah, I did.
But that's the third set, or I guess the next set's coming out after Brothers War. It's called Phyrexia. All will be one.
Yeah, and there's going to be another two Phyrexia sets after that.
Vibes. Yeah, All Will Be One is kind of like, I don't know, are we losing this fight? Because they've only really shown one art, which is, of course, Elish Norn. That's coming out in the second quarter of 2023.
Well, they did show that a Johnny turned Phyrexian too.
Well, that's in, yeah, Dominaria United, yeah.
Right.
But this is the third set, Phyrexia, All Will Be One. I don't know what's going on there.
But it's too early to decide, right?
Yeah. The set after that is March of the Machine.
Yeah.
And the logo that they have, the O in of, is a Phyrexian symbol.
Yeah.
Which is pretty ominous too. And they literally say magic has changed forever. And they also showed one piece of art which has Teferi on the front and then Elish Norn in the background.
Magic's changed forever. That's kind of scary, man.
Yeah, like, does Teferi die? Like, if Teferi dies, to me, that would change Magic forever, almost, you know?
Well, there was a rumor a long time ago that Jace dies, not Teferi. Like, they were going to kill off Jace and have Teferi be the main blue planeswalker.
Well,
was the rumor.
Sure, which he's been the main, Teferi's been kind of the face recently, but
yeah,
the picture had Elish Norn and Jace. Mm-hmm. So to me, like, Elish Norn and Teferi. So to me, it's like, when is he magic changes forever? I have no idea what that can apply.
Yeah.
We still don't know all of Dominar United. We still don't know Brotherstone. We still don't know Phyrexia. We still don't know March of the Machine. Like, there's a lot.
It's going to be really exciting when we get there. Yeah.
Yeah.
We think it's exciting now, you know.
Oh, it's going to be nuts. There is a supplemental set after that called March of the Machine, The Aftermath.
I'm thinking like Dominaria Reunited or Remastered, and the one where they did with the Crimson Vow, a double feature. This is going to be something like that, right?
I think this is like new cards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're reprints. Okay. I think these are new cards because it says it ties up loose ends.
Okay.
So maybe like, you know, there's something in a storyline where Urbras does something, or Vorinclex or Gix is mentioned. Like, I don't know.
Do you think it would be anything along the lines of tinkering with the idea of making three sets in a block again?
No. I don't think so.
Okay. Okay.
I think this is just going to feature some cards. I have no idea. This is literally a year from today,
right?
When we're going to know more information.
And fall of 2023 is going to be Wilds of Eldraine.
Yeah. So
that's exciting.
So after the conclusion of this Phyrexia War, to me, just by reading the names and I guess I think we're losing. But after that, the story is over, or at least it's going to like put on a hold. And then, as you said, we're going back to Eldraine, Wilds of Eldraine. After that,
They were saying too that it's going to be not inside a village, it's going to be outside a village. The Wilds of Eldraine.
Yeah.
You know,
right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because like in Eldraine before, we were pretty much with Kenrith, the Return King, and we were kind of like inside, I don't know, his domain or something. Mm-hmm. So it's my interpretation is that we're the wilds. We're going outside of, into the woods, essentially, like unknown territory, perhaps. But again, this is even more than a year from now.
And they got winter 2024. Wouldn't it be like winter 2023 into 2024?
Probably. I mean, my guess is that this is like a
January,
November, December, maybe January release of 2023. So we have time.
Yeah, it does say 2024 right there on the symbol, but it's the Lost Caverns of Ixalan.
Yep, that's after Eldraine. So we are going back to Ixalan.
I'm excited.
As you said, Lost Caverns. So, and we're going to have dinosaurs. We're going to have pirates. We're going to have these creature types again. So, to me, it's interesting that, because we all know Eldraine was extremely overpowered, and we all know that Ixalan was extremely underpowered. It's going to be interesting to have these two, like, back-to-back, because, like, I'm sure they learned the mistakes of Eldraine, and I'm sure they learned the mistakes of Ixalan, so I hope they're going to be balanced out. To me, that's exciting. But again, I have no idea what's going on in the storyline.
Right.
Not a clue. So yeah, those are the sets that are coming out. Oh yeah, at some point we are getting a Dominaria Remastered. You did mention that. This is pretty much going to showcase, I think this is a reprint set. And I think it's pretty much going to have cards from all over Dominaria. Not just Dominaria, the first one, and then Dominaria United.
Mm-hmm.
But any set that took place on the plane of Dominaria.
Right, and they said like 37 sets.
Yeah, because the first couple sets was just all Dominaria. We never went anywhere.
Right.
Like Tempest.
Yeah. Even Ice Age was Dominaria.
Yeah. Ice Age Alliances was Dominaria.
Yeah.
Mirage Visions for the Light, Dominaria.
Yeah, I was going to say, yep, a lot of them. It didn't dawn on me until because I didn't know anything about planes going to different planes until way late in the game, you know. Yeah. So
like everything in Tempest, so Tempest Stronghold Exodus, and everything Urza Saga, Legacy Destiny.
It's just
then
so
we
much.
Went to like, what do we go to after? Like I think Mercadia was a different plane. But I just had Invasion Plane Shift Apocalypse. Like there's a lot. So we're gonna get little pieces of things here and there.
Speaking of which, we're gonna have Dominaria Remastered too. We mentioned it earlier. It's gonna be early 2023.
Yeah,
we're gonna have Lord of the Rings: Tales of Middle Earth, which we don't know if it's what modern legal.
I thought I heard somewhere that it's gonna be modern legal. This is coming out probably about maybe a little less than a year from now, maybe like 10 months, 11 months.
Yeah,
all we know is that for sure we're getting Lord of the Rings set or a supplemental product or something.
Yeah. I heard too. It was going to be a set, right? Lord of the Rings, and then Warhammer was going to be a commander product.
Yeah,
but Lord of the Rings is going to be a set on its own, like a real set. And they couldn't answer if it was going to be standard legal or modern legal or whatever.
Oh, actually, now that I think about it, I do remember another podcast talking about that Lord of the Rings would be modern legal because I heard them kind of making jokes about how Gandalf is just going to kick everyone's ass in modern.
I gotcha. Okay, I gotcha.
That's
October 7th. I see the date right there for Warhammer, October the 7th.
Yeah, that's this October.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's coming up real quick, man. And some people, you know, with the crossover universe stuff, Beyond Universe, Beyond or whatever, people don't know if it's really going to work. Like people that were into Stranger Things, where they go into Magic. You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
Warhammer, I've never really seen it. Every time I go to game stores, I see it over there. And I know it's an expensive habit. Right? I don't need another expensive habit, but having it coming in Magic makes me kind of look over there and go, I might get a starter set and try it out.
Yeah. Speaking of crossovers, we're going a little bit further, more IPs. We're getting a Doctor Who Secret Lair.
I love it.
Some point next year. I'm not so sure when.
Yeah.
They showed two pieces of art for it, and to me, it literally looks like they just took a picture of it and threw some paint on there. I know that's not what they do, but I'm just saying that like that's how spectacular the art look like. Yeah. it looked real.
Yeah, I remember the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon when they did, and that was like a legit secret lair, right? The Doctor Who's secret lair kind of reminds me of that. It takes me back to when I was about that age, and I learned about Doctor Who. My parents knew about it. They knew about the Black Adder, which was Mr. Bean, Rowan Atkinson, if you've never heard of him. Yeah. Red Dwarf. I never heard of these shows before, you know, Red Dwarf and then Doctor Who. So these three shows would always play back to back late night. And sometimes I'd fall asleep because they were just so sci-fi-ish and, you know, really far-fetched, man.
Right.
And as I got older, I start liking it more and more because it reminded me of my childhood. And the fact they're going to bring it over to Magic the Gathering. And I get so excited with some of these products. I go, Dad, they're bringing D&D to Magic. Oh, what? Wow, man. Wow. Now I just feel so bad. Dad, they're going to bring Doctor Who into Magic. You know, he'll probably be like, wow. You know, it's like, when's the shock going to be over, man, that they're bringing this into Magic? They're bringing this into Magic. We're going to have He-Man. We're going to have Star Wars. You know,
there's essentially like anything you could think of.
Yeah.
We can get into it.
Yeah.
Like for all we know, like we can have Mercedes-Benz into Magic. Oh, here's a vehicle. Okay, yeah.
I heard the other day, except for Pokemon, because we're not gonna Nintendo and
I don't know, man. Because Wizards of the Coast did make Pokemon for the first few years.
There's a secret lair that's huge. Did you want to talk about this one right here?
There is a super drop coming up. Which we know they've done super drops before. This is when they pretty much announce or debut or release like six secret lairs at one time. And you could buy like a whole bunch of them for, you know, like 300 if it's not foil or 250 if it's not a foil.
Yeah, I remember. I don't remember exactly what was going to be in it or what was in that one, but I remember talking about it on the podcast. Yeah.
They do it a couple times. And there's another one of these super drops coming up there. So today is the 20th as we're recording this, and they're going to released this on the 22nd.
Okay.
So this is 2 days from now. So on Monday, we're going to know what's going on. So right now, with the information that we have, we're clueless. I don't know what's going on. It could be Magic 30th anniversary related stuff. It could be Phyrexia related stuff. It could be, I'm pretty sure they're going to like have an artist showcase, or I forget what they call it. Spotlight. Mm-hmm. It could be something off the wall. It could be, like I said, Mercedes-Benz secret lair.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do. We don't know.
Like you said, though, the possibilities are endless if you think about it, you know?
Yeah. They could do whatever they want, essentially. Like
McDonald's.
For me,
McDonald's. Can you see a Ronald McDonald? You
know? Grimace.
Legendary creature.
The dude.
Hamburglar.
Oh, man. Game control target food token.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can see it. Burger King something, baby. Wendy's, yeah. All of them, right?
I need to eat dinner, so don't. Oh, man. I'm on a diet, and I try not to eat junk food. Anyway, I don't know what's in the super drop. For the most part, for me, it's just nice to look at, and I just kind of ignored after that. I really only bought 3 or 4 secret layers total. I actually have one sitting next to me still in the box, the Street Fighter one.
I like the idea of having 30 cards that are individually wrapped, and you can have a choice of doing one a day or open them all at once.
Oh, yeah. So that's another thing. Yeah. That's the like the Magic 30th anniversary. This is, I think, a secret layer. Either the information's out and I just...
Well, they got certain cards. So like it's going to be a foil version from what I see of, you know, one card representing a year, like Lightning Elemental and... then you got, you know, stuff like Arbor Elf and, you know, stuff like that, you know, but one card per year, you know, it's got a stamp on the bottom left-hand corner, 96, 97, 98, 99. But I think it starts with 93 though. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're pretty much taking like the best card in that year and putting like their secret lair touch or something there. I don't know if it's alternate art, I don't know, or whatnot, but.
And who decides what's the best card, you know?
Yeah. Probably just whatever made the biggest impact. I mean, I guess early on, you can kind of assume it's just whatever made the biggest splash in standard or whatever was most popular card was or something. Mm-hmm. But like later on, is it, to me, like, let's say we go back like 2, 3, 4 years ago. So like 2018, are they just going to put like commander cards in there at that point, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you know, there's cards that, you know, make a big impact on today. You know, like Pact Negation, Force of Will. You know, like the one we just said, card of the week, Liliana, the Veil, or no, Liliana.
Yeah,
but you know, but again, the Veil. Yeah. So you got Lightning Bolt and, you know, Dark Ritual. I mean, but they're not going to reprint Black Lotus, Mox, and all that. You know, those were they left such an imprint to even non-Magic players know what a Black Lotus is. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But go ahead though. Go ahead. Yeah.
But yeah, but even with those, like for example, those two cards that you just mentioned, Dark Ritual and Lightning Bolt, those both came out in the first set. Mm-hmm. So you can only have one of those. Right. I think for the first set, the first year, they did Sarah Angel, which is, in my opinion, like the bright choice.
In my opinion, too, I was just talking about this yesterday with a buddy of mine. He was like, take me back to 1993. I was like, I'll take you back to 1993. If you had Sarah Angel on the board, you won the game.
Essentially.
Know? Yeah, it's pretty much how it went. You know, almost every game that I played.
It was a rivalry of Sarah Angel versus Sengir Vampire. And then... Shivan Dragon just trumped them, just took care of it all. But yeah, that's, they're also with the presentation, they also announced a whole bunch of D&D stuff, which I don't play D&D, so to me it just went way over my head.
Yeah, we're not gonna talk about D&D.
Well, I don't have the ability to talk about D&D. Like if you ask me a question, I'd be like, all right, yeah, I guess I did that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's pretty much all the information is coming out. All the sets, all the juicy details, as much as we know for the next year of Magic. So there's a lot coming out. And I'm sure there's plenty of stuff that they have not told us and that we'll find out later on. So, yeah, it's quite a lineup. Are you excited about all the stuff coming out, I assume?
Well, yeah. I mean, they got so much coming out. We've got somebody in here, JD. JD, I'm going to go ahead and mute you in a second, okay? Can you
What's
hear
up,
me?
What's up, JD?
I can hear you guys.
Hey, buddy. There you go. Hey, we're glad you came in. You're actually the only person in here with us. We really appreciate you. We really appreciate you coming in here, buddy.
For all I know, maybe JD's a sleeper agent and we're just kind of messing ourselves up right now.
JD's
anybody that knows me knows I ain't no sleeper, nothing other than a couch sleeper, maybe.
We got to get you to come on the show one of these days, man, and be a guest. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, I plan on it. I want really, really wanted to, and I still want to. I just want to come in as that normal average Joe.
That's fine. That's fine, man. That's absolutely fine.
Sounds like something a sleeper would say.
Yeah. How's the brown nosing going? Am I there yet? Am I in?
You're fine. You've been fine since day one, man. We are actually going into our last segment. And go ahead.
There's a few things I want to talk still about Dominaria United.
Okay, go ahead.
Kind of continuing about sleeper agents.
I'm going to mute JD. Go ahead.
Yeah, as you said early on, is that Ajani was corrupted. He's been, if you want to call him, Phyrexianized, but the right word is completed. The Phyrexians captured him, turned him Phyrexian essentially, and then he became a sleeper agent, and he was kind of sent back with the with our heroes, with the other planeswalkers. Mm-hmm. What he's gonna do, I'm not so sure, but it is confirmed that he is corrupted. He is a planeswalker card in Dominaria United with Phyrexian mana, but he kind of looks normal, but he is Phyrexian. We know that he does kill Jaya Ballard. So that's pretty devastating as far as I'm concerned.
I have an update right here. It's a live update. So the next set, Teferi and Saheeli, are going to go back in time to find out how the Silek works so that they can nuke the Phyrexians. So that's new,
yeah,
right?
So
that's new. That just came in right now.
I read something about, not exactly what you said, but kind of like parts of it, is that somewhere along the timeline, Saheeli Rai, the one on Kaladesh, made a duplicate of the Silex. I think it's called the Silex, C-Y-L-I-X. It's an old ass art. It's an old artifact that either Urza made or Mishra made or something, that had an insane destructive power. It was, I think, was used to end the Brothers' War, that pretty much wiped them. I think it wiped them both out, and it wiped out like a huge portion of Dominaria that triggered the Ice Age.
If you're ready for some spiciness, you might want to get a cup of hot cocoa for this, okay? Because the tagline reads, guess who's right about the time travel expansion to Brothers' War? Okay, this is kind of, I really, really wanted to read this to you, like right now in the spot. It says, hope you get your cup of hot cocoa ready. It says, so this was now Teferi's mission to return to the Wynn to learn. I know it's read like that, right? What Karn had already determined the how. How did one activate it? ? Good luck, Teferi, said Saheeli, for all our sakes. There's only two small paragraphs, okay? He forced himself to relax. A small brown songbird perched in an arched window, then dropped down into the floor to bathe in the dust. Karn would have known its species, its habits. In the last paragraph that I can read says, to save his home, to save the multiverse, Teferi would do the one thing he had vowed never to do, cross time itself. I thought it was spicy because that's kind of like inside information, you know.
Is it to me? That's why I'm thinking, like, is Teferi gonna die? Like, I don't, or maybe he traps himself in time, and maybe
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think it's Jace. I think Jace dies, man. And it goes along with the rumors, and the time frame is just right, man. Okay, so they do things 3 years in advance. Okay.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things that I heard about 3 years ago are coming just like a domino effect, right? So this just makes sense to me that they're finally killing off Jace. I know we don't speculate on the podcast, but I'm letting you know, man to man, that personally, I think it's Jace.
My money is on something really bad that's going to happen to Teferi. I think worse. I think as far as as far as the Planeswalker heroes are concerned, it's worse than being completed. My guess is that he might trap himself in time or something. The dude has a wife and he has a kid. Like, I don't know. But
yeah.
Again, that's just, I'm not wishful thinking. Wishful thinking is I hope someone defenses to die, but
We're going to see what happens when we get there, you know?
Yeah.
It's still a couple months away.
We've already had a couple spoilers for Dominaria United. I'm not going to go over the spoilers because that's a whole other episode we can get into later. Maybe next week.
After. Yeah. We've got a guest next week and everything. Yeah.
But I do want to go over some of the mechanics real quick.
Okay.
There are, what is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 mechanics.
The one I know off the top of my head is the one on sagas where you can choose any chapter you want now on those sagas that say
and that's.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that one is called Read Ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, as you said, it'll only be found on the enchantment sagas.
The new ones that say that on the top, yeah.
Yes. Choose a chapter and start with that many lore counters. Add one after you draw step, and you just the skip chapters don't trigger. It's pretty much, imagine you playing any saga, and instead of starting at chapter 1, you start at chapter 3, like the end of it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what Read Ahead is. But you can't go back to 2 or 1 or whatever.
I think sagas are here to stay, just like it's evergreen. We're going to have flip sagas. We'll have modal sagas.
Oh, man.
You know, yeah, I think they're here to stay. You know?
Ooh, that'd be.
Think about it. There's so much play space. They tested it out with single colors, and then they did multicolors. You know, I just think there's so much play space. This is the first time we're going to have sagas with abilities on there, besides the fact that it's got 3 abilities, you know. But I think there's so much design space right there to work around with.
There is. I don't even want to know what a double-sided face card of a saga looks like. No, thank you.
No modals. No double size. No flippies.
Not now. We'll do that later. The next mechanic, Enlist. This is only found on creatures. As this creature attacks, you may tap a non-attacking creature you control without summoning sickness. When you do, add its power to this creature's until the end of turn.
Yeah, that's so, it's a lengthy explanation of a way to say banding 2.0.
You're not entirely wrong. I mean, of course, banding is set as a rules nightmare.
Right.
But you're not entirely wrong. Right. Because you're you know, let's say
of course I'm wrong but not entirely wrong.
Like the concept, like, you know, like, well, you know, I guess it took something from banding because like, let's say you have a 2/2 and a 5/5, but and you want to attack, let's say you only attack with a 5/5, let me just borrow
the power of two from
the creature that's not attacking,
right?
So now it's a 7/5. There's only the power, not the toughness.
Not to mention there's no the damage on the stack was totally horrible too. So I know banding was a horrible mechanic, and I know it's really bad for me to compare this to banding, but if you really look at it between the lines, it's banding 2.0.
It's yeah, I can see that. What I find interesting is that this is the first time they've really, like, I think formally addressed summoning sickness. It was
in a long time.
Yeah, because every time it's always been informally informal topic. I don't think it was really ever in the rules book. It was just kind of like slang or code or something.
We talked about it. We've always talked about it. It was in Inquest. It was in Duelist, Scry.
Right, but
we always talked about it. You know, it's in the rule books too. The original rule book that was the size of a magic card.
Original, yes.
Yes,
but. Recently,
well, it's somewhere there in the like 703-15, you know, it's somewhere.
I can look it up later, yeah. but I don't think it says summoning sickness in there. It might just be informal because, like, any creature, we all know that it cannot tap and it cannot attack the turn it comes into play unless it has haste. That's pretty much how it's worded. It doesn't say all creatures have summoning sickness. It's just that as a part of the rules that a creature can attack or use activated abilities.
Right.
This is now it's actually mentioning summoning sickness on the card. Yes, as you said, old cards said, you know, this creature is unaffected by summoning sickness. Yeah, that's old cards, but now those all are added to haste. So I don't know if this is going to change the rule book a little bit to now formally address summoning sickness as a term. Mm. We'll wait until the release of it, and then the rules will get updated then.
I just want to let you know that I'm getting looks from the producers right now.
I'll move ahead real quick.
Yep.
We have a list. We have read ahead. Domain is coming back. And this pretty much is could be found in almost any card.
Yeah,
Domain. It checks basic land types among lands you control. So if you have like a plains and a forest, your domain counts as two or whatever.
It's two.
And this is like, for example, target creature, it's an ability word. So like target creature gets, you know, plus X plus zero, where X is equal to the amount of basic land types among lands you control.
Yeah, domain's an old mechanic. It's coming back. It's really clunky. It's really slow. It's going to, I mean, to get that effect, you're going to have to sacrifice yourself by using basic lands and a whole bunch of them. It's something I wouldn't recommend. Well, go ahead.
Because Triomes have three basic land types on them.
They are, but aren't they getting rotated out?
Not the ones from New Capenna.
Okay, that's fair enough.
So that could be interesting. So we might have like some 3, 4, or 5 color decks that will just for, or maybe even 2 color decks will just randomly toss in a Triumph just for extra reach for domain.
Or cycle, right.
Kicker is coming back, and this is the best mechanic, in my opinion, the best mechanic in the game, or second best next to cycling. But we all know what kicker is. They're doing a little bit twist on it to where it's not multi-kicker, but you can either pay this color or that color. So you can kick it twice, one for each type. And the last ability is stun counters. This says if a permanent with a stun counter would become untapped, instead remove a stun counter. So this is probably just a different way of saying, you know, target creature doesn't untap during its next untap step.
Yeah, it definitely is. I went on a Magic the Gathering Arena, and they've got a new animation for that effect. You know, the blue like blockchain.
The blue chains, like ice or frozen or something like that.
It's also more detailed. It's a little more, bigger. It's bigger. It's more beautiful, in my opinion.
Yeah. So, but with these stun counters can stack. So you can have like three stun counters. So that means a creature doesn't untap for the next three turns.
Yeah. If blue is strong in the upcoming sets where I can tinker with, I'm going to be going with that mechanic myself. I just like the possibility of getting that lethal from that reason, you know?
Yeah.
I love that.
So those are the five mechanics coming into Dominaria United. Notably, there is no Infect. There is no Phyrexian mana.
Yet.
But they announced that these are the mechanics, and I feel like they would have said Infect or Wither or Poisonous.
It's coming
I know
up.
They said something that they... Yeah, in the next sets, probably.
Yes.
But not Dominaria United.
All right, guys, so we're going to go over to our last segment, which is called Level Up. And this week, we're talking about Cube. It's actually one of my favorite formats. And if I had to put a tier of my favorite formats, I would say Modern, EDH, and then Cube. If you would have asked me this 5 years ago, it totally would have been Cube as number one. And I don't know if that's because I was playing more of it with my playgroup. Because right now, I don't really have a playgroup. I moved over to Arizona, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Cube. I love Cube. Oh, man. If you knew how much I love Cube, what is it you want to talk about Cube, man, for Level Up?
So Cube is, like I said before, it is the best draft experience anyone can really have.
Absolutely.
Just, like, imagine, like, just if you don't know what it is, it's a draft. Mm-hmm. But instead of opening up a pack of Streets of New Capenna or a pack of Innistrad or whatever, mm-hmm. you're essentially custom making a set to have whatever you want in it.
Absolutely.
You can have a theme in it. You can just pick your favorite cards. You can have an entire mono blue cube to where every card in the packs are just all blue cards. You can have it all cards from Innistrad's only, or all cards from Ravnica's only. Yeah. I heard someone did something where their cube is all art.
It's true. It's
that
true.
Depicts a female.
It's true. You can do all kinds of things with cubes, right?
And you can do whatever you want.
There's two things I want to touch on real quick, right? Because I know there's not much time. We have you mentioned draft and how big of an important role the cube plays. Mm-hmm. You can Winston draft, you can pancake draft, you can glimpse draft.
Rochester draft.
Yeah, you could Rochester. There's so many different drafts you can do. And if you're not familiar with these terms, just by looking cube and draft and different ways to draft cube, this all over internet and YouTube. Also, I do want to mention that the professor over at Tulane Community College has made a couple of cube videos.
Yeah.
Maybe 7 or 8 years ago. He's got one on introduction level, intermediate level, and advanced level. I've watched all three of them multiple times before I built my first cube.
Yeah.
Notice I said first cube.
Yeah. Yeah, more than one. Okay. Wow. So if you want to build a cube, sure. It's the difficult part is making sure it's balanced. If you want to start a cube, you would need to start at 360 cards in your cube. That's how much your set's going to be.
That's correct. Cause you got to have what that's for a pot of four, I believe. That's called a small, pot of eight. You're right. That's a small cube. They got 540 and then 720.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
540 is what I'm working on. Mm-hmm. But balancing is very delicate. Don't worry about trying to make it or whatever. But
I disagree. I think making it is really one of the key things. Like you said, it's building your own universe.
Building
your own set. You know, that's what it is. It's building your own set, and you got to be careful when you balance it. But let alone before you even get to the balancing part, acquiring these cards. You know, you don't want to really. What's the word I want to say? You know,
overexert yourself. Maybe
not overexert yourself. You don't want to fill in the gaps. You don't want to, you know,
fillers.
Yeah. You don't want to put fillers in there. You know, if you need a fine horn elf, get a fine horn elf. If you need because you know, you're going to get Llanowar elves everywhere, you know, don't shorthand yourself because the cube, and in my opinion, that's just my opinion. Everybody's got an opinion, right? The cube deserves more respect than that. It's really the format is what it is. Because of how everybody really adheres to those general basic rules. I don't think we've even talked about that. There's general basic rules of building a cube, and each cube has to have a theme. It could be something broken like the Eternal format. It can be a power cube with all the power cards, right? Power nines, etc.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned earlier, it can be just a spirit one or a Kamigawa set, you know?
All goblins. You could do whatever you want.
Have fun with it when you build a cube. But like you said, when it comes to the balancing part, I think that one is challenging. I'm not going to deny that because when I got to that part myself, I couldn't believe how hard it was. Because it's like I acquired all these cards, right? And I just when I got to 360, I'm like, cool, I got a cube. And then I realized I'm like, well, this really needs to be balanced. And as I'm starting to take stuff out of the cube, I'm like, what am I going to put in the cube? You know, and I really wasn't rich. And I'm sure not a lot of people have a lot of money to, you know.
Yeah.
You know, expendable money, you know.
I think designing and building your own cube and paper is probably the one of the most difficult things you could do in Magic.
It's worth it in the long run. If you do it and you finish it, it's one of the most rewarding things you can do in Magic. If you can actually play with it now, just to have a cube over in the corner collecting dust. Okay, you know, if you're into, you know, keeping it for financial gain, I understand that too. But to play with it is a different story altogether. And to learn... It's made me a much better drafter. Every time I play with the cube and I go play draft at the FNM or something, I'm getting so much value from it.
Yeah. So again, the cube is a lot of fun. You can talk to John. You can talk to myself. We'll tell you all about it if you want to learn more.
Yeah, we're out of time, guys. I want to thank everybody who's actually made it in today. Listeners, you don't know, but I actually put out a little invite in special places for people to get a free taste of behind the scenes. So we want to thank Will, our Patreon, and he can go behind the scenes on every podcast episode.
Just like JD is now.
And JD, you're listening. We want to thank you for coming in today, JD. We love you. And until next time, keep spell slinging.